You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war, people who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a city shining on a hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Hello, everybody. This is Peter LaBarbera with the Americans for Truth Hour. Americans for Truth is a single-issue group devoted to opposing the homosexual activist movement. We're happy to be on WYLL outside Chicago. And we've got great news. We're moving up. We're moving on up, to quote that song with the Jeffersons TV show. We're moving on up to 11 o'clock on Saturday night starting next week. So 11 p.m. every Saturday, and we're happy to be getting a little bit easier to listen to. Today we're going to bring you part two of our interview with my good friend Brian Kamenker, who is the head of Mass Resistance. The website is massresistance.org. That's Mass as in Massachusetts, resistance.org. Mass Resistance is a wonderful organization that also fights the homosexual activist movement and other good, other good fights it does. But it's one of the leading, it is the leading group in the Northeast of our country fighting the homosexual activist movement. And they do very courageous work. And we're very happy to have Brian. Brian, welcome.
Thank you for the kind words, Pete. It's great to be here.
Well, Brian, I was speaking at your fundraising banquet a couple weeks ago, and it really was a privilege because I think you guys do such outstanding work. I think a lot of people in the country could learn from your work, and I want to talk a little bit today about some of the lessons you've learned over the years. But first of all, tell us about this great victory that you just had in Massachusetts.
This had to do with legislation that they tried to put in that would essentially criminalize any discussion, criticism or negative discussion on homosexuality or similar issues. This is the kind of thing that's been going on in foreign countries, such as Canada, where people are actually being arrested and fined. And they slipped a section into an anti-bullying bill that would basically have a fine of $1,000 or a year in jail for what they called hate speech.
Hey, Brian, let me read that paragraph that was in the bill. And this is in a bullying bill, which is, in other words, trying to protect kids from being bullied in school. And, of course, homosexual activists have been using such legislation to promote homosexuality. But this is particularly egregious. In the bill, here's the language. It said, quote, whoever publishes any false material, whether written, printed, electronic, televised, or broadcast, with intent to maliciously promote hatred of any group of persons in the Commonwealth because of race, color, religion, national origin, ancestry, sex, sexual orientation, or disability shall be guilty of libel and shall be punished by a fine of not more than $1,000 or by imprisonment for not more than 1 year or both, unquote. So Brian, what's wrong with that? They just don't want any hate.
Right. And interestingly, they don't define hate.
Right.
Hate is not defined. So, and that's the way it is all over. So they get to define what hate is.
Right. And how do they define hate, Brian?
They define hate as anything they don't like, essentially. It's very broad. Whatever politically correct speech or politically incorrect speech they don't like gets defined as hate. And this happens all over the world. I mean, we see it particularly in Canada. And, these anti-bullying bills are very pernicious because this is the vehicle that the homosexual activists are using across the country to push their agenda and to force schools to continue or to put in homosexual programs. This actually started, I guess, in California and it's gone in states all over the country. So coming to Massachusetts was just another stop on that train. And, you know, the proof of that, which we found, was at the public hearing for the bill, just about all of the people testifying were these radical homosexual groups and the transgender groups. We were pretty much the only pro-family group that testified, but they're the ones that are pushing the train on this. Unfortunately, here in New England, the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL, is actually sort of organizing the coalition, and it's very embarrassing to the Jewish community because the ADL has become very left-wing and is being ostracized in many ways by the politically conservative Jews because it's an organization that's supposed to be promoting anti-Semitism
or fighting
anti-Semitism. And now what they're doing is they're promoting the homosexual agenda.
Yeah, well, we're going to get to that, Brian. Now, you are Jewish. Now, are you an Orthodox, practicing Orthodox Jew?
Yeah, I attend an Orthodox synagogue, and I was actually talking to my rabbi last night about it, and it's very distressing.
We're going to get to the part about the. I want to talk to you about how the Jewish community evolved to become so pro-homosexual. But before I do, on this hate language, do you really believe the homosexual activists do seek to criminalize opposition, spoken opposition, speech to their agenda?
Oh, absolutely. This is what they do. You know, essentially in the public schools right now, and anywhere they can, they consider this hate speech, and there is no question, and in fact, if you go to their websites, go to the GLSEN websites, and all of that,
GLSEN being the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network,
you'll see them discussing it. I mean, there is absolutely no question that what they want to do is criminalize speech that criticizes their movement, and this is exactly what they're doing in Canada.
Right.
Well,
the reason I ask, is that most people just really don't understand how nefarious the homosexual activist agenda is, and. You're right about the schools. I mean, for example, here's something that's going on across the country. The kids, one of the phrases kids say is they say, "That's so gay." And it's sort of a put down. It's like, that's not a good thing. Now, I don't think the average person who thinks of it is thinking of homosexuals or homosexuality. It's just, it's what they say. I don't think that's particularly a great thing. But on the other hand, I don't think it should be outlawed. Because who is to say that the word gay should only be associated with positive sentiments about homosexual practice? I mean,
right.
How do we get to that point?
How dangerous and destructive homosexual practice is.
Right.
There's this whole movement. I mean, we even have a poster that we got at one of the homosexual conferences trying to stop kids from saying "it's so gay" as hate speech. And in fact, I had an experience in my own kids' high school where I was talking to the principal, and they were having all these, homosexual speakers. And I said, "Well, how about an ex-gay?" And she said to me, "Well, no, that would be hateful." And I'm going, "What are you talking about?"
It's the redefinition of hate, which I find most Christians, and I'm sure you find among conservative religious Jews and people of faith and religious people generally, do not comprehend how much the homosexual activists despise religion of any kind that opposes homosexuality.
Absolutely. They really, really despise it. The average person doesn't understand that. And what they do is they align themselves with these, radical liberal churches and synagogues that sort of twist the Bible around. But real traditional religion is an anathema to them, as is traditional morality.
Well, and because the movement is all about approval, gaining approval, and even using the government to force approval, that's where you get to this point where they, you know, they make the claims what? They say, well, we have to stop the hate speech because the hate speech is what breeds all this violence against gays and lesbians, as they are wont to say. So, I mean, they are building the case, you know, really, for putting down people's right to oppose homosexuality.
Right, and that whole business about stopping violence is pretty much a complete fraud. That started actually in Massachusetts with Kevin Jennings, the founder of GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, where he made a famous speech on how he was able to get the gay rights laws passed in Massachusetts by changing his strategy and claiming that it was all about safety. And he said, you know, if we frame the issue this way, then we'll win because the radical religious right, as he calls, you know, traditional people, didn't know how to react to that. And so he says, this is what you have to do, is you have to claim that it's about safety. And yeah, it was a complete fraud. There were no actual statistics or anything about schools being unsafe or anything like that. And that's that. Yeah, you're right. That's their whole thing. Is they're claiming that you have to stop this hate speech, or else it's not safe. And you know, complete fraud.
Yeah, and it's just the irony of promoting a lifestyle which is destructive. We just got more information, which we'll talk about after the break, about how destructive homosexual practice is, and yet they're doing it in the name of safety. But I'm sure you've seen a lot more surprising things than that, Brian. This is Peter LaBarber talking with my friend Brian Kamiker from Mass Resistance. We're with the Americans for Truth Hour on WYLL, and we are moving up next week, Saturday night at 11 p.m. We will be on 11 p.m. next Saturday, and we expect you to listen to that. We'll be right back after the break with my friend Brian Kamiker. Everybody, this is Peter LaBarber with the Americans for Truth Hour on WYLL. Our website is Americans for Truth, all written out, americansfortruth.org. And we're talking with my good friend Brian Kamiker of Mass Resistance. And I do not exaggerate when I say that Brian Kamiker is one of the most intelligent, strategic, pro-family warriors opposing the homosexual activist movement in the world, really. And, hey, Brian, one thing I'm really jealous of, though, with you is that Mass Resistance has been labeled by the Southern Poverty Law Center as a hate group. And I am really, truly jealous because Americans for Truth, I do not believe, is not an official hate group.
I know.
Now,
what
is your secret for earning that hate group designation?
Well, I'm not really sure. It just sort of happened, and they keep renewing it every year.
Does it like automatically renew because you're still in charge?
Automatically renewed. And, you know, when they first did it, I called them up and I said, well, how did we get to be a hate group? And, you know, they sort of fumbled around and said, well, you know, you demean groups of people. I said, well, but is there any specific thing that we've done? Well, you know, that's what they do. They, you know, they started out with just the term homophobic, but that's not strong enough.
Yeah. So well, I want to talk about homophobic, but the irony of this group, which is, calling you a hate group, the very thing, you know, they get on conservatives. Oh, don't you dare smear homosexuals. Don't you dare stereotype them and criticize them. And then, but they do the same thing 10 times worse to Christians.
Oh, absolutely.
And people of faith.
They do such horrible, horrible stuff. It's indescribable. You know, some of the things they've done in Boston, you know, going to church services and disrupting them and just, you know, and they don't get called hate groups.
Tell us what happened at Park Street Church, the one where they had the actual megaphone that was outside the church and they were yelling into the church. Tell us about that incident.
Yeah, we have a video of that. Park Street Church is a historic church across the street from the Boston Common, downtown Boston. And they were having a religious affair inside on ex-gays. And
helping men and women to leave the lifestyle.
Right, right. And it was, you know, it was basically a small conference of pastors. And the gay movement came and demonstrated not only demonstrated outside, but went up to the windows of the church with megaphones about, like, against the windows and yelled all kinds of disgusting things and chanted. And there's a historic graveyard cemetery, you know, where Samuel Adams is actually buried, next to the church, and they pretty much desecrated that while they were doing it. And it was horrible. I mean, it was vile and disgusting. The Boston police, of course, were right there and didn't do anything. But and we have that on our website, and you can watch the video of it. And this is the kinds of things they do.
Yeah, and yet we're the haters.
Right.
Yeah, you know, yeah, doesn't the hypocrisy haters ever dawn on these people?
Yeah, no. It's
like a religion to them.
Yeah.
And hating. Hating people of faith who oppose homosexuality is part of the religion. Now, I'm not saying every homosexual activist hates Brian Kammacher and Pete LaBarber, but what I am saying is the level of hatred that is levied at groups like ours is astounding. I mean, I get hate mails, and I'm sure you do too, Brian. I get hate mails that I could never imagine even thinking of sending to a homosexual activist group.
Or any human being. Yeah, I know. It's how do you think of this stuff?
You can't, and so that thing of hate, you know, what the I think all these gullible Christians out there and people who are would consider themselves traditionalists, what they don't understand is this movement is slowly eroding our freedom in America. Because if you can't oppose homosexuality, I mean, how can you justify denying people's right to act on their freedom of conscience on their and what they believe?
I know, and. You know, the a lot of the mainstream religious movements who claim to be conservative are really doing a disservice with their wishy-washy attitude toward fighting this, and often, you know, opposing groups like you and me. You know, this is a big problem in the conservative movement, but it's a problem that's as old as time. You know. It's interesting, you know, Martin Luther King, his famous letter from the Birmingham jail, a lot of people don't realize that what it was written to was his friends who were supported, you know, what he was doing, but didn't support the way he was doing it and called him an extremist. A group of, you know, of his friends, pastors around Alabama, had put up a full-page ad in the Birmingham newspaper saying that Martin Luther King was an extremist and that people should stay away from him. Here's this guy that parades without a permit and goes to jail, and this isn't the way that we want to fight this fight. And that's what his letter to the Birmingham jail was. He ran into the same problems we do, you know. And this, I mean, the Revolutionary War in the United States, I mean, there were, you know, groups of people. In fact, John Adams had started out that way, you know, wanting to, you know, sort of negotiate with the British until he was persuaded that it wasn't going to work. This is a problem almost, you know, as I said, as old as time of these groups that don't get it, you know, that don't understand that you know, you have to be willing to confront evil.
Yeah. And I think one thing you do so well is you convey the evil through basically primary sources, and this is also what Americans for Truth does. Let me get both websites out before I forget. Ours is Americans for Truth. That's FOR, AmericansForTruth.org, and Brian's is Mass Resistance, as in Massachusetts, MassResistance.org. Let me give you another civil rights example, Brian, and have you comment on it, and that's Emmett Till. Now, he was the black boy, he was a teenage boy who made the mistake in the South of whistling at a white woman, I believe. And his mother, he was killed, brutally killed down in Mississippi, I believe. And when he returned, his mother was very savvy. She purposely, rather than have him just be buried, she had an open casket in Chicago, and she laid it out, and thousands and thousands of mostly African Americans and some whites too streamed by the casket to see the beaten, battered body of her son, and it became a moment in the whole civil rights struggle. And here we have a similar situation. We know with abortion, you know, we know that's horrible, and a lot of people don't want to really be confronted with how evil abortion is, the taking of innocent unborn life. But on homosexuality, we have lots of visible evidence for just how radical this cause is. And talk about some of that. I mean, Americans for Truth has exposed how in San Francisco, Nancy Pelosi's district, you know, twice a year, men are allowed to walk around completely naked in the streets in these vile, perverted, sadomasochistic festivals. I mean, tell us about some of the things you've shown people and the difficulty of helping people understand the movement.
Well, you know, much of the stuff that we've uncovered has been involving public school children in the schools or around the schools. There's, of course, the famous, you know, Fiskade incident of that really vile, disgusting workshops with kids as young as 12 involving homosexual sex practices, which we uncovered.
That was taught by government employees, yeah, in Massachusetts.
Yeah. And who were eventually fired. The Little Black Book, which is a booklet of really vile, vile homosexual sex acts given to kids at Brookline High School, also middle school students who were there at the time. The kinds of, you know, transgender events that kids go to. I mean,
let me stop you there. You guys got this incredible video of a transgender pride parade. Describe that with a woman walking down the street.
Oh yeah.
I'll describe it, and you can comment on it.
Yeah.
Basically, it shows one of the goals in the transgender movement is to look like the sex you want to be. And so they actually had a woman walking down the street who wants to look like a man. She believes she should have been a man, I suppose, and she had her healthy breasts removed, and she was walking with her chest exposed, her flat chest exposed, walking down the street. And it's horrifying, but this is the reality of what we're confronting.
Right, yeah, that was in Northampton. That was a parade down the middle of the street with women who had their breasts amputated in order to appear to be men. And they were, you know, defiantly marching bare-chested. And, you know, there were some kids involved in that parade. The Mr. Boston Leather incident where kids were invited to a transgender prom. These were kids who were bused in from public schools. And they had a guy named Mr. Boston Leather, who is this, you know, middle-aged man who is involved with sadomasochism and other things. And he was the, you know, the greeter at this event. And it was full of men dressed as women and, you know, sadomasochistic kinds of things. And
so they're modeling perversion and deviance to impressionable innocent children.
And this was in a public building in downtown Boston with kids brought in from high schools. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on with the kinds of things that have gone on. And people just, they just don't want to see it. They want to close their eyes. And much of this is paid for with taxpayer money. And you know, we're organizing people to fight it. You know, getting back to what we started talking about, that bill with that language, we were able to get that stopped and
yes,
taken out.
And you got it stopped because you exposed the truth to people and they took action. And that's what we need in this country. I mean, because if we don't stay vigilant, they will steal our freedoms and they will promote immorality to children as they continue to do. We're talking to Brian Kammacher of Mass Resistance, massresistance.org. We'll be right back after the break. Everybody, my name is Peter LaBarber. I'm the president of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. We're a single-issue group devoted to opposing the powerful homosexual, bisexual, transgender movement. We are very pleased to report that next week our program moves up to 11 o'clock on Saturday evening. I guess you would say night, Saturday, 11 o'clock. So we hope you can listen. We're in part two of our interview with Brian Kammacher, who's the head president of Mass Resistance, which is one of the most effective pro-family organizations in the country. Brian, you're relatively rare in the conservative pro-family movement in that you are Jewish. And, boy, I wish that most Christians had your, zeal for standing for truth. It's troubling to me that, even in Massachusetts, you're more committed to a lot of the Christian, pro-family people, I believe. But tell me a little bit, were you always Orthodox in your profession or did you move that direction partly because of what you saw in the culture?
Well, I was actually raised, in the Reform Jewish movement, which, you know, is these days it's sort of like being Unitarian, but it wasn't quite that bad back then. And I guess what happened is when I started having kids, we were involved with the conservative movement, which is sort of in the middle. The word conservative is relative, let me tell you.
You're talking the conservative Jews.
Yeah, conservative. There are three major types of Judaism. There's the Orthodox on one end, the Reform on the other end, and the conservative sort of in the middle. And the conservative and the Reform have sort of gone steadily to the left in the past few decades. But anyway, we went to a conservative temple, and when this stuff started happening, I found that in order to deal with just the, I don't want to say demonic aspects of it, but it's a spiritual battle in many ways, and I find that it draws people closer to God.
When they see what's going on.
Yeah. When they and especially confronting it. I mean, what happened with me was my kids were in first grade, things like that, and when I would just speak up on this, I would get attacked viciously by the gay groups and in the newspapers and things like that. And, you know, at first I had no idea what was going on. I couldn't understand why I was being attacked so horribly. In order to stand up to this stuff, I found that, a lot of the Jews at the conservative synagogue weren't supporting me, and the Orthodox were, and one gets sort of drawn closer to, one's religion, and I ended up saying, moving into the Orthodox camp, and I've been, it's been a long time, but I find that with a lot of people that just confronting the bizarre nature of this struggle. It's a spiritual battle. I mean, the incredible intense hatred that homosexual activists have to anyone that opposes them is something that's difficult for the average person to wrap their head around, to comprehend.
Because right.
You don't see that in normal life. I mean, it is a visceral rage that these people have. I mean, they would literally kill us if they could. I mean, they wouldn't just kill us, but they would kill us in as gruesome a way as they could think of. I'm convinced of that because of just the sheer hatred that they have and the way they're willing to lie and say anything and do anything. And it's difficult for the average person to confront. Or to,
Most people are not. Yeah, they just do not see this kind of hatred, and frankly, a lot of them would just rather not bother with it. And that's what I find with the. I mean, how many people do you know who stick with this fight on our side? I mean, one thing I admire about the homosexual activists is their tenacity and their perseverance, and they just keep fighting. But I mean, so many people on our side just they don't have the stomach for this.
Well, yeah, I know, and with them, I think it's more of an obsession than anything else, but yeah, on our
with the homosexual activists.
Yeah, with the homosexual, it's an obsession. But on our side, yeah, there's a lot of people who just can't take it anymore, and there's a lot of people in our organization who sort of are in the background because they want to keep in the fight, but they can't. They just can't be public because of just the vicious things that happen, you know, letters to the editor, calling you names, calls at home. I mean, anything they can do to you, they will do.
Yeah, I mean, you've been compared to the Klan and all these wicked, wicked comparisons.
Oh, yeah.
Here you are, a Jewish man. You were once even called a Christian fundamentalist, right?
Yeah, I mean, they said that people should stay away from me because I'm Christian. But one thing that they did a couple of years ago was the homosexual activists sent emails and letters to the state legislature saying that I was a Holocaust denier. Now, I'm Jewish, and my whole family is from Eastern Europe. So, I mean, I'm not a Holocaust denier. But they just made that up, you know.
And why did they choose that one?
Well, I think the reason that they did it was because I'm friends with Steve Ross, who is a survivor of Auschwitz, and I had testified that some of the that Steve Ross had told me. Steve Ross spoke at our banquet, and as I said, he's a survivor of the Auschwitz concentration camp. That the business about the Nazis targeting homosexuals in the camps, according to him, who was there, you know, and he was there, is widely exaggerated, and I testified that at a public hearing, and you know, I mean, that's, you know, he said that many times, and
right.
he said that, and it bothers him because they're basically making this up. And using that lie, and I said that, and then you know, and so they're saying that I'm a Holocaust. You know, I mean,
no smear is too great for the homosexual side.
No smear. So people, you know, the other thing is that the authorities, the police, for instance, they will never react to any kinds of threats that you get. With the thing of Park Street Church, for instance, that we talked about a little earlier in the show, the police will never stop them. If we ever did that to one of their churches, we'd all be in jail immediately. But the authorities have just no interest at all in intervening on anything that they do.
Now, that's a function of the power that these
right.
these guys have.
Yeah, yeah. And so... as a result, the only place that you can do is get closer to God, you know, to emotionally deal with this. I find a lot of people become more religious when they're faced with this.
Brian, we got 3.5 minutes before the break. Talk about how you see the young people, the direction of the young people, because this is what I worry about. It seems that so many young people are just so cavalier about this issue. They're almost brainwashed about homosexuality. Talk about that.
Yeah, it's very troubling. First of all, I mean, the young people are fed a huge dose of propaganda in the public schools and in television and everything else. And, you know, kids are not the kinds of critical thinkers that past generations were. And I blame the public school system on that. I mean, you know, they just don't think logically as much as prior generations or critically. And, yeah, they buy into the whole, you know, all of the nonsense. And, you know, when you sit down with them and talk, you can often make some sense, you know, with them. But yeah, it's horrible. I mean, the kids that we deal with most are kids who are immigrants from other countries, such as Russia and places like that. They get it.
Yeah.
You know.
But I mean, just like people over, gosh, I guess you would say over 50 now. Anybody over 50 has no problem being explained why homosexuality is wrong, that it's just a dangerous and a sinful practice. But the younger generations, they look at you like, you know, with the deer in the headlights.
Yeah, they really do. They don't get it. And but I have hope for that. I mean, I think that large numbers of them can be turned around.
But don't they need a principled message? That's what they need.
Yeah, that's what they do need.
They don't need to be told this is just about standing up for marriage and this is not about homosexuality, which is part of the message that's coming out of a large portion of the pro-family movement these days, right?
Well, you know, so much stuff is censored often by us. You know, the gross, disgusting aspects of what these practices do to the individual, what it does to society. I've seen, you know, kids who have sat through, like, something, you know, by internists and things like that, who really are changed once they hear the truth. The trouble is the truth never gets to them. So that's a huge problem, which, you know, we have to work on.
Yes, and we'll talk about that a little bit after the break. The CDC just reported that men who have sex with men have an HIV risk more than 44 times that of other men. More than 44 times that of other men, and men who have sex with men have 46 times the risk of other men with regard to syphilis. You know, and you keep seeing these statistics, and yet somehow we're being told this is normal. It's just astonishing.
Yeah.
We're talking with Brian Kammacher of Mass Resistance. His group, the website is massresistance.org. I'm Peter LaBarber with Americans for Truth, and I'm very delighted to report that we are moving to 11 o'clock next Saturday evening. 11 o'clock p.m. You'll be able to catch us a little earlier, and please tell your friends and be listening. Our website is americansfortruth.org, and we'll be back after the break with Brian Kammacher of Mass Resistance. His website is massresistance.org. I encourage you to go there and learn and then tell your friends. We'll be right back with Brian. Hello, everybody. My name is Peter LaBarber. You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour on WYLL outside Chicago. Americans for Truth is a single-issue group devoted to opposing the powerful gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender movement in society. And it's a tough struggle. It's a David and Goliath fight, that's for sure. They got all the money. They've got the power. But we have the truth. And that's why I'm talking to my good friend Brian Kammacher of Mass Resistance. Brian is one of the most principled, dedicated opponents of the homosexual activist movement. He's a real American hero. Before I start with Brian, let me say again that next week we are moving up on YLL to 11 o'clock p.m. Saturday night at 11 p.m. So please listen and tell your family and friends. Brian, you have been opposing this movement for a long time, probably about as long as I have. And, you know, talk about, you know, I have this thing here, first of all, the latest report from the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, astonishing report that came out Wednesday, March 10th. It says HIV diagnosis among men who have sex with men is more than 44 times that of other men and more than 40 times that of women. Then it says, with regard to primary and secondary syphilis, it says the rate of syphilis among MSM, which is, again, the scientific term for men who have sex with men, it says the syphilis rate is more than 46 times that of other men and more than 71 times that of women. How do you explain how the media and the liberals continually promote the homosexual agenda in the face of such obvious evidence that the lifestyle is unhealthy?
Well, you know, it's like a lot of other things. They believe in this movement, and the facts aren't going to get in the way. You know, it's been a terrible frustration for 20 years, it hasn't been quite that long, but they just simply don't want to talk about it. And I think we see a lot of things Barack Obama is another interesting thing. I mean, they didn't want to talk about the negative stuff about him in the election, but you know, that's just another instance. But they just don't want to go there, and a lot of it is because there's so many homosexuals in the media. But yeah, Pete, it's horrible. I mean, dealing with the mainstream media and even the conservative media.
Yes, we're losing the conservatives.
Yeah, they just don't want to go there. And it's, you know, it's up to people, you know, groups like yours, in particular, some, you know, groups like mine, to get the word out, because it's like living in Soviet Russia or something, where there's, it's as if there's two worlds. There's news worlds. There's their world and then what's really happening.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and diseases caused by homosexual acts that are unnatural and wrong, that's not part of the so-called gay rights equation. They want to say this is a civil rights issue, just you know, the latest progression of civil rights.
Yeah.
And this doesn't fit.
Yeah, it doesn't fit. I mean, it's, you know, it goes back to Saul Alinsky and before, where, you know, the ends justify the means, and anything you say has to go with the program.
Well, Brian, let me. I want to touch on one more thing before we lose you here, and that is, you know, the pro-family movement has been evolving towards a more soft approach on this issue. Very defensive. The tendency now is to say, well, we're not really, you know, the issue isn't homosexuality. We just oppose same-sex marriage. You even have some conservatives and some, even some people who call themselves pro-family who are backing so-called civil unions laws, which are, is essentially gay marriage by another name. Talk about this backpedaling. How come it's always the pro-family side that backpedals? It doesn't seem like the homosexual activists ever step back.
No, it doesn't. And you know, this idea of compromise is a proven loser. I mean, you can go back 60 years and more and chart how every time the conservatives want to compromise, they lose more ground. You know, I think it's what it is that our people just don't have the stomach for the fight. And they want to be liked. They don't want to be called haters. And so they want to be look reasonable. They want to appear to be, you know, rational, reasonable people. And it just doesn't work. You cannot compromise your principles. And that's exactly what they do over and over. And that's why we're in worse and worse shape that we're in. I mean,
it only emboldens these hardcore gay activists.
Yeah, and it makes everything worse. I mean, I can remember in Massachusetts when the liberal governor said that he could not go as far as civil unions. I mean, that was way beyond the pale.
Was that a Democrat?
That was actually Republican Paul Zellucci. But Michael Dukakis was the same way. I mean, they would never go there. And now the mainstream Republicans are all supporting gay marriage. You know, I mean, and the reason is they keep backpedaling and backpedaling and backpedaling, and you never go forward if you're always backpedaling.
Yeah, talk about that rabbi who had the Kvetchen retreat, Rabbi Schiller.
Yeah, well, my friend Rabbi Schiller has made a series of famous speeches called, you know, Kvetchen retreat. Kvetch is a Yiddish word which means sort of, you know, whine and complain bitterly. And what he says is that for the past 60 years, the conservative movement, every time the liberals would come up with some lunacy, they would kvetch, they would whine and complain about what they were doing, and then they would retreat back into their further back into their own territory, and then after a little while the liberals would do the same thing, and they'd keep going back. And he says that what happened is over the years the conservatives backpedaled so much that they met the Stevenson Democrats from the 1950s who had never moved, and that those are essentially the neocons. The neoconservatives are basically these Stevenson Democrats from the 50s that had never moved, but now they're considered conservatives. And he sees that as a problem, and he sees the mainstream conservative media, such as National Review and the Weekly Standard and all of that, as part of that.
Right. And we see it. We're seeing this happen right before our eyes when conservatives like radio talk show host Mike Gallagher and I think the guy from Weekly Standard just came out for gays in the military. I mean, you see conservatives embracing an agenda which cannot be called conservative by any stretch of the word.
I don't know. How do they possibly think that you're working? I mean, when the liberals do that, when the liberals compromise, they do that as a tactic, you know, one step backward, two steps forwards. But the conservatives never go forwards. They always go backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
Well, we got 2 minutes left. What do you do? I guess I think I see you doing is staying principled, and people rally to that. They sense that they know what the principled tack is. It's like just like on abortion. They know who the principled people are. So is that our solution?
Absolutely. And you know, that is what works. And you know, living in Massachusetts, that's one of the things that endeared people to Ted Kennedy, interestingly enough, is that even though he would often say things that they didn't like, the fact that he stood by them, it attracted people. And that is the same thing with us. If we say this is the truth and we're not veering from it, people are attracted to that, and that's what works. But anything else doesn't work. And that's just simply the laws of nature. And unfortunately, the conservatives haven't figured that out, at least most of them. But that's the answer.
And the young people, too. The young people will see the principled message. They're not going to go for this civil unions compromise. They'll just say, well, why not give them gay marriage?
Yeah. You're absolutely right. Yeah. You know, they're not that stupid. I mean, logically speaking, if homosexuality isn't bad, why not let them get married?
Right. Right. Well, Brian, it's been a privilege to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being on it. Brian's website is massresistance.org, massresistance.org. Ours is americansfortruth.org. I'm Peter LaBarbera. Thank you, Brian. And we encourage you to listen next week at 11 o'clock p.m. Saturday, a new time for Americans for Truth Hour, 11 p.m. Saturday. Go to the website americansfortruth.org. Send us a question about what you'd like to see on the show. We hope you keep listening, and thank you so much, Brian Kammacher.